Listen to this.
Zakawani, the flying winger.
Here's Brad Evans.
It's Steve.
Who is it? Brad Evans.
It's not again.
Happy days are here again. Turning with a drive, it's Steve Zakawani. Evans with the left one. He's an attacking threat, Brad Evans.
This is so weird.
The party has started.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to the Sounders FC podcast presented by Toyota. And we are looking at two games coming up this in this short week, pretty much. So the Sounders will be in DC on Saturday, and then they'll replay the match against Philly that was abandoned after a few minutes. And we'll get into the details of that because there's specific rules around that game. That's what's coming up for the Sounders, and both games are huge. But we have to look back first a little bit, and it was not a good Saturday night. Like, it just was not a good Saturday. I always pull up like the box score, I guess you can call it. And you know, I thought it was a good game. It was a good open game. Like, compared to the Dallas game, was just a really boring game to watch. This game against Vancouver, both teams are trying to win, trying to play, and then Jackson got sent off in the 43rd minute. And we knew from there the game would be different, and it was. I still have some feelings on what the Sounders could have done better or differently. Alex gets sent off in the 74th minute, but by then the team was 2-0 down and there was no way back. Vancouver took advantage of that and then, you know, ended up obviously dominating possession, 64%. They didn't really have too many crazy goal attempts. Both goals came from just schoolboy errors, we can call them. Childish mistakes, I would say, at the back. And the Sounders paid the price, and that table is not looking pretty. 8 games, only 1 win. Now, 2 tough games on the road. We'll see where the team stands this time next week. But just as an overview, bird's eye view of the game, Brad, sort of what do you make of last weekend?
Yeah, I think it's a tough one to swallow again. There are games throughout the season that you're going to have to take your lumps. And I think if the Sounders had won previously in Dallas and had gotten that second win under their belt, yeah, I think it's a different tempo of that game. And the Sounders push even harder with a little bit of confidence. But that's the way that this league works. Like, you got to get on runs at some point. And if you don't, you're going to get left behind. And these next two games are going to be indicative of what the Sounders do. Now, 2016 was a disaster of a start and through the summer, and somehow turned it around in the end, but not without getting still a couple results throughout that year, if you really historically look back on it. And it's not about tying games, it's about winning games. Like, if you're going to lose games, then you better be winning games on the other side. Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself, sitting at the bottom of the table. Last night, you know, my frustration with the game is game management when you go a man down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the red card happens super late in the second half. We get a free kick in a great position and an opportunity of a free header, right? 6-7 yards out and not put on frame. And that was the Sounders' opportunity to kind of turn that game around and get something out of it. And I think at that point, then Vancouver's like, okay, reset. We're a man up. Let's get our tactics down for the second half and let's push. So I went out to dinner last night with Facito and Jordan Stewart. Jordan Stewart, you know, former player at San Jose, 2013, played a year in Phoenix for the Phoenix Rising. He's now the assistant coach for San Jose 2. They play Defiance tonight, Thursday night, at Starfire Stadium. And we were talking about that game, and I was asking him, like, okay, if you're the captain of a team and your team goes a man down, right? Like, let's just say, you know, we don't score that goal. That's a good opportunity. We go in at halftime. So at halftime, you know, Schmetz is going to have his tactics. But if I'm the captain of a team and I know that it's a really good Vancouver team and I'm a center back or a captain on a team, like, I don't want the ball at my feet as a center back. Yeah, I don't want to play the ball out of the back and try to play beautiful soccer. And who on the team is saying, hey, I don't want the ball. Is it Steph? Is it the two center backs? Or saying, I'm a center back. Every time I get the ball, I'm smashing it long and we're playing ugly and we're playing for a tie, right? So it happens twice to the Sounders. We feel like, you know, Yamar's experienced enough to know that someone is going to be pressing him. And especially in a 4-3-3 that Vancouver plays, that high press, right? If I'm getting the ball every time, I'm smashing it long. Like, I don't care what my teammates say. You guys battle up top. Do your job the best you can. We'll try to hold it to zero. And then the second one happens where Javier's trying to play out of the back instead of just smashing the ball long or laying it off to Steph. So there's still no one on that field, I don't think, recognize that situation. Same, saying, okay, guys, just get the ball forward and we're going to clog the midfield. We're going to play with one up top and we're just going to see what happens. Play a 4-4-1 and that's what we have to do to get a result tonight. No one did that. And so then we continue to play out of the back and try to play. And we get caught twice. And, you know, Vancouver should have piled it on even more.
They should have. And, yeah, you're right. I mean, the Yamo one for me, sometimes you're watching a game and you're trying to see ahead of the play, right? So I'm like, okay, he's going to get to him. Okay, who's open? He has that option. Yamo, I thought he's going to open up, play Alex Rodon, or clear it. Like, that's the only two things you can do in that moment. I don't know why he's trying to jab. Forget who was it, Atencio, whoever, Vargas, or whoever it was. You can't do that. Yeah. But I still can say, you know, that's a mistake. It happens. The Arriaga one, I'm sorry, man. He had 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, there's no even pressure. Yeah. He could have gone back to Steph. He could have, like, you had so much time that you tried to dribble out of the back. And I think after already seeing Yamo, for me, that was the knife in the back at that point where it's like, there's no coming back from that. I will say this, though. I think the red card was wrong on Jackson. We were pretty strong about it on the air. I still think the way the team came out of second half, like they were feeling sorry for themselves. Like the game was done. It was still 0-0.
Yeah.
Like we've seen teams of 10 men galvanized, rally. It was still 0-0. And I felt like there was no belief at all that we can still get something. It was like, oh, we've been done wrong. It's an injustice. You know, everyone was upset. And I'm looking at goal didn't score to the 58th minute. So you had a good 10 minutes to get yourself right. And Vancouver were not troubling Steph. They weren't really breaking you down. You gave them that goal, but they were sort of this sort of feeling sorry for ourselves. Like I didn't feel that sort of like we're going to come out and make this a memorable night where even with 10 men, we find a way to win, which we've done before. So that was a bit, speaking to what you're saying, where I don't know where the leadership is, where the character is, where the... It's tough, man, because you don't always want to look back and compare to this team, that team. I just remember like Zach Scott, for example. He's not trying to play out the back.
No.
Zach never. Is getting that ball as far away from the goal. Casey Keller, for example. Like, he's not... They would be on the pitch. Someone would say, here's what we're going to do to give ourselves the best chance. And maybe we want to be this kind of team. We can't do that tonight.
So I think to your point is... If the Sounders had a, 6-1-1 record or whatever heading into that game and, you know, they get a red card, it's a completely different attitude coming out at halftime. Yeah. But the reality is you cannot walk in here to the training facility every day and not know that you only have one win. And so no matter how much you try to get that out of your head and think, okay, next game, next play, when it keeps happening about, okay, next game, we got to get a result and we don't. Next game, things are going to go right and they don't. Right, it's really difficult to then take a red card at home against a rival. You know, a ton of fans in the stadium, a beautiful night, a game that you think that you should win, and then you get a red card.
Yeah.
And you go in at halftime, and you're like, "What do we have to do to get on the right side of a result?" And so, that is the most difficult part about being a professional athlete. Yes, you take your lumps sometimes in a season, but really when things aren't going well, there's got to be a turning point. Yeah. And I don't know if it's changes on the field or what it needs to be. I think it'll be a mixed lineup against DC on Saturday. And maybe that's a little bit of a spark, a little bit of freshness that comes in, new ideas maybe, new creativity. Give Musovski maybe a run up top and let him have, you know, a good 60, 65 minutes of trying to create and play his game versus trying to just impact a game coming in. So I think it's a matter of mentality coming out, like you said, at halftime. If things were top of the table, no worries. We take a lump, right? But the matter of fact is you feel like you have to win the game. And then you're like, how are we going to do this with 10 men on the field?
I'm looking at the table. 14 teams in the West. Sounders are 12. So RSL and Houston have conceded 8 goals. The next best records is 3 teams conceded 9 goals. That's Vancouver in 2nd, Minnesota in 5th, and the Sounders in 12th. Only conceded 9 goals.
Right.
The issue is only scored 9 goals. And that's where... And 5 against Montreal, was it?
Yeah 5 against one team.
5 in one game.
So 4 goals.
So that's really where... And I think there's been 2 penalties, maybe 3. So that's been where the issue is for the Sounders, right? Because conceding 9 goals is fine. 8 games, 9 goals, averaging about 1 a game. How do you fix that? How do you start? Like, goals is obviously the hardest thing to get. And last year, we didn't do a good job of that either. With what Schmetzer has right now, and you know, Preki and the whole staff, how do you I don't know. Like, how do you get Jordan going? How do you get Christian going? How do you get Albert going? Like, it can't all be on Raul. He's not the same Raul as before. He might get you 10, 11, 12, maybe. That would be great. How do you get the team to score over, let's say, 40 goals this year? It's not looking like...
I think there needs to be more opportunities from the run of play and counterattacks. Yeah. I think too many times our buildup is so methodical that teams know what we're trying to do. How many times have we said in the press that we're trying to get into these... What do we call them? That high percentage zone. What's the term that the Sounders use? It's like inside the 18 on the byline.
The prime assist zone?
Prime assist zone, right? Yeah. And that's been here since Ravi started that kind of saying.
I think.
And so how many times have you been watching the Sounders play and it's a slow buildup? It comes out to the right and then we're waiting for the same play over and over again for one guy to get into the prime assist zone. Like, goals don't always have to come from the prime assist zone. Goals come from mistakes from other teams as well. Goals come from having fast athletic players like Christian and Jordan and Rusnak, you know, running a counterattack.
Leo Chu in there.
Leo Chu probably back in the lineup. And so goals have to start coming from different places and not just this idea of the Sounders having playing this beautiful possession-based soccer.
Yeah.
And so it's got to be a mix-up. Maybe become more of a transition team. Maybe sit back a little deeper and absorb and then try to catch teams on the counterattack.
Yeah.
And really use that speed the best you can. Or you only sit back with six. We're going to say we're going to defend with seven and we're going to keep a couple guys high and kind of cheat and poach and see what happens. Kind of like what Portland does.
Yeah. Well, I was from Portland, LAFC.
LAFC cheap. I mean, that's how they beat us last year.
They don't want the ball. They're just, we're going to get out. And Sounders have that personnel too. We've had a week or so, close to a week. The dust has settled, you know, all of that. Your thoughts on the red card for Ray Jackson now?
I mean, I still think it's a soft red card.
Yeah, I can see more why they'd give it, what they're thinking.
Yeah.
But
how many times in sports...
That happens in every training session.
Yeah.
Ball into the striker, he slows down, defender's momentum takes him over, little hand in the back, an accidental stamp, whatever the case may be. To call that violent conduct is where I'm like...
Yeah, I think it happened yesterday in the Arsenal game.
I'm sure.
Where a player gets the ball and follows through and steps on a player's foot. Arsenal scores a goal and then it gets waved offsides. Or it's one of those games.
Liverpool, Everton. Right? Yep, Liverpool, Everton.
But it's instant. Like, what am I supposed to do? Not poke my foot in and then he slides in and I step on him?
Yeah,
like it's incidental contact. It's not on purpose. It's not super violent play.
No.
It's not a serious foul play either.
No.
I'm just not sure what he's supposed to do. Like, a player going full speed at 6'5", trying to turn and make a play after that. Yeah, it's a push that leads to it.
Yeah,
it's a foul. It's a yellow card.
I
just think that's really soft. And how many times can we slow down every play in soccer or sports?
You see the worst of it,
and be nitpicky and find a serious foul play in those moments. So for me, still soft, and ultimately it changed the game.
Do you think, because like we've been around MLS long enough now where every time we're playing a new team, on their staff will be someone I know I played against or seen play before in the league. Maybe it's a technical director, maybe it's a GM. Former players go into those roles, they don't become referees.
Never.
But do you think, cause for me it's like, if a ref has played the game, he's not given the red card there because he understands that situation more rather than just the letter of the law. Stamp, violent. No. Oh, that kind of play happens. It's incidental. How could you possibly incentivize, because it's a hard job, man, refereeing, former players to go and become refs? It's not going to happen.
Pay him an egregious amount of money.
I can't even picture that.
Oh my God.
I think that's the only way.
Because the reason they don't is, I don't know why they don't, but...
Well, since the dawn of time, we've been ingrained to have a hatred for referees.
It's like antagonist towards them, and it's like they're not popular, and why would you choose that, right? So,
I mean, I can't remember a referee that I ever had like a really good like conversation with or said thank you after the game. Yeah, you win a game and it's like, all right, thanks. But though they're meant to be like in the shadows.
Yeah.
And I don't understand the appeal of being a referee, but it's, you know.
Yeah, but
no, it way, seems yeah. to me like when I watch an NBA playoffs right now, you got Jason Kidd on the sideline and he knows every ref by first name and he's talking
and
they talk and they actually have a conversation. In Major League Soccer, it seems like everything is so confrontational or soccer in general is very confrontational.
Yeah.
Like watching the Champions League game the other night, Club America game, and Ishmael Elfout's reffing the game. And it's like, He almost looks like he's putting on a show, like when he holds the yellow villain, card. When he whistles, it's very dramatic.
He was the same I saw him at a World Cup. He was the same.
One cares that you're there. Maybe your family's watching you. Congratulations.
But it's not true.
Why do you feel like you should be the one talked about on TV? Like, you are not the reason for being there. It's almost like it should be only a volunteer job. And, you know, they should only accept referees and not even pay them and just have them as volunteers. So just for the love of the sport, if that's why you're doing it for the love of the sport, then just do it because you do it. It's a tough
job. Stay in shape.
It's a really tough job, and obviously,
especially for hockey referees. Hockey referees are ballers.
I've never had good relationships.
Hockey referees, they have to skate as well. Oh my god, they're skating just as well as all the players are.
It's either that. It's either.
It's crazy.
Okay, it's either. Oh wow. Do that with the refs, or pay them more money and allow soccer players to fight like in hockey.
And then they have to break up fights
and be more of an actual referee, like MMA. I don't know what it is inside of me. Like, even now when I'm coaching high school, I get livid at calls, right? Every time. Even if I like them, or even if it's a call like for us that I know isn't the right call, it doesn't matter. No, it's a really difficult job. I understand. I don't know. Ever since I was a youngster, I've always gotten in battles with referees.
I'm thinking of, I said MLS. Premiership, La Liga, no former player anywhere in the world. I can't think of any significant former player, and there's been thousands.
Yeah, because look at the stigma that ever surrounding it.
Yeah, not one.
It's a thankless job, too.
It really is.
It's a thankless job. You go from getting cheered to being booed all the time.
Every call is either correct or not correct. But that's the same as a player. I mean, you give away a ball on the back.
That's true.
And now everyone, you know, is only going to remember Arriaga for probably that one moment, no matter what the Sounders do and how many cups and trophies he's been a part of at this club.
How good he was in stopping Carlos Vela in 2019.
Oh, yeah. 2019. Yeah, 2019.
He shut down the best player in the league at that time. So you have to balance it out. I will say this. I think they do. You might know this better, Keely. I think the refs do talk to like the pool report or something like that. I've always said referees have got to come out and do post-game interviews. Actual questions. Not to interrogate them. Coaches, you lose 5-0, talk to the press. You scored an own goal, got a red card as a player, talk to the media. I've not scored in 15 games, I have to talk to the press. Referees don't talk. We never know what they were thinking, why you did that. It will just help give more. And that's in every league in the world. They'd never come out in front of the camera and give an interview. And I think for me, I've always thought post-game, just talk. Whether you had a good game or bad game, something happened, nothing happened, just make it a part of the game now where referees come out the game, not to explain every decision, but just give kind of their views on how the game was reffed, why they were more lenient, some refs call it more tight. I think that would help.
I wonder why they don't. I wonder if it's a worry about I don't know.
I think he might come across as in making them explain everything.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. So if for me, just make it happen for every game.
I want to like call a referee and like talk to them and like interview them and see what it's like. I don't know.
We could probably get one on.
Wouldn't that be cool?
If any refs out there listening.
Yeah, I feel like that could be interesting. Yeah. I'm going to look into that, guys.
Yeah. And just talk to them and just have a conversation. Okay. So Gidi, you're going to do a way better job than me at this. The Sounders go to DC on Saturday, we'll talk about that, but Philly on Tuesday, what's the rules around it?
Yeah, so because the game was abandoned and not like canceled and then rescheduled, I mean, it's all stupid vernacular, whatever.
Yeah.
The same players who are on the field
have to, if available,
and that includes suspensions do not matter. Yellow card, red card suspensions do not matter because it's going back in time. The only thing that matters is if you're hurt, then we're allowed to replace you with someone on the bench. Or obviously if you're traded away, like Arriaga started that game. Yamar's going to start over him.
Yeah.
But Andrew Thomas, for example, will be starting for Philly game because
and
he
Steph
was there.
Steph is not on the bench.
Yes.
So Steph can't be there.
Steph can't be there.
JP was still injured, so he's back injured.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. And so,
and Alex will play despite red card. Doesn't matter.
Jackson
should be able to play as well.
He should play too, I can't remember where the board stopped. You have to restart the board where it was then?
Yeah, it was like a throw-in or something. It was like a random throw-in.
The Sounders should have scored before that too.
I've never seen this. I'm sure it's happened like where they have to finish games, but I've never
been a part of it.
Yeah, where the game is playing from the sixth.
Starts on a throw-in.
Yeah. I think there was a game a few years ago where they came to do, it got into the second half already. And then they had to come back and finish just that piece somewhere in the world.
I think it was in Dallas or something.
Yeah, Dallas. It was Dallas. They came out to finish.
It was probably a thunderstorm.
Yeah, and they're like 18 minutes or 28 minutes, whatever the case may be, which is insane to me. But okay, what will be a successful two-game swing here for the Sounders? But obviously, 6 points, yes, we know. But is just a win, two draws, a win and a draw. Like, what's the minimum? 4 points.
4 points.
Win one, draw the other one. That's a huge success.
Yeah, 4 points. I think you can pick up a result in DC.
I think so too.
I mean, it's a team that's lost two in a row as well. They'll be motivated at home, but I think it's another team similar to the Sounders that are sitting, I think, 10 points, and with a -2 goal differential, and a team that they can get on top of. But you know, being aware that they do have some two or three top quality players, obviously. Yeah. You know, the most glaring in Benteke, his size and just awareness in the box has been pretty impressive the past couple of years for a player that I think Rooney brought in originally and has started to produce for them on a high level. And so tough place to play in DC with a mixed lineup for the Sounders most likely, but I think a chance to pick up a result there. I mean, there's really no excuse not to. You kind of throw everything on the line, play within yourself, play tactically aware, but I think the Sounders have to go for it. I don't think you play for a tie at DC.
I mean, Philly's unbeaten. I think the only unbeaten team left in the league. They've only played 7 games. They're on 13 points. So they win a couple games in hand, they probably go first in the East. I mean, they're 5 points behind Miami with 3 games in hand. So their position's a bit deceptive in sixth place. They're probably a lot better than that. 3 wins, 4 draws, no defeats, 14 goals, so 2 goals a game, only giving up 9. That's a tough game. They're always good. I don't know how, you know, I don't know what his reputation is, Jim Curtin. I think he's one of the best coaches, man, because he's rebuilt that team so many times. He's lost players. They've traded guys away. Yeah. They sell really good young players. You know, Brandon Harrison comes to mind, and they somehow always revamp, and they're always good. So that's going to be a tough one. I think you have to, if you don't get what you said, a win and a draw, you have to win at least one. You cannot come back from there with 2 defeats. That, I think, you start to ask serious questions.
That's a tough one.
Serious, because then you're looking at 10 games played, 1 win. We've had bad starts in the past.
Nothing
matters. Nothing like that.
Not like that. Not like that. And
then you come home against the Galaxy.
Yeah. And then you have LA, who's flying. Yeah. Who's flying.
MLS is happy right now. Miami, LA, New York, all top four right now.
those teams
got their big
yeah.
markets are winning.
Yeah. So it'll be tough. Okay, so Keeley broadcast info?
Yep, we're on 950 KJR for both, 1360 LRA, Apple TV, MLS Season Pass. And you guys are splitting color commentary. Steve, I have you on for DC, I believe. Yeah. And then Brad is on for Philly.
And 4:30 is DC, so 4 p.m. pregame.
Both of them are 4:30.
Both will be 4 p.m.
Yep.
on the air, 4 p.m. So there, you heard it there, Sounders fans. Sounders in DC, 4 p.m., tune in to 950 KJR. If you're going to watch, I don't know yet if the Apple TV syncs to away games yet.
It doesn't.
Okay, so you can't sync to us, but you can turn the volume
down. You can do it yourself.
Yeah, you can turn the volume down and go on the app, put the radio on, whatever it is, if you want to hear us on either of the calls. But two massive games goes without saying. The Sounders need to find a win. And this is where it does not have to be pretty. You just got to find a way to win. And we'll be back next week and we'll be previewing. It doesn't get any easier. LA Galaxy. So many games. I think it's 9 games in 27 days. It's a lot coming up. But anyway, as always, you know, thank you for listening to the podcast. Comment, like, subscribe. Wherever you get your podcast, keep the faith. This is the Sounders FC podcast presented by Toyota. We'll be back next week.